Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales. This is the podcast where we talk about Laura Ingalls Wilder, historic foodways, one-room schools, and other social history. This is Sarah Utoff, the host and creator of Trundlebed Tales. Find us around the web under Trundlebed Tales and on your favorite social media platform. If you listen or even just have an account on iTunes, please leave positive feedback for the podcast because that helps people find the show. This is episode 80 of Trundlebed Tales, and today we are looking back on Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom during 2016. Now, if you tried to listen to the show earlier in the week, we were having some terrible technical problems on Wednesday, but hopefully we've got everything worked out now, and things will go a lot more smoothly today. 2016 was the 149th anniversary of Laura Ingalls Wilder's birth, and 2017 is the 150th. So we've got a lot of things going on this year, and we will get to that hopefully in next week's podcast. So today, we are looking back on all the things that happened in 2016. Now, one thing was that Laura was inducted into the Missouri Public Affairs Hall of Fame on the University of Missouri campus. Now, there was this big ceremony in April, and it was kind of an interesting thing because a lot of people were kind of confused and thought this was the Missouri Hall of Fame, but actually Laura was put into the Missouri Hall of Fame, which is located in the state capitol in Jefferson City back in the early 90s. This is a completely different thing. So now she's in a couple different Hall of Fames. Also this last year, Jerry Pinkney, who is a wonderful children's picture book author, won ALA's Wilder Award. Now, what that is Laura never won a Newbery Award in her life, which is the prize for the best children's book of the year. I think four of her books did win honor, which is a sort of show or place level under the award. But afterwards, when a lot of the books that won over her have been forgotten and hers has still stayed strong, the American Library Association kind of felt a little guilty about it. They'd been overlooked because they were series books. And so to sort of make up for it, they created the Wilder Award, which is an award given for lifetime achievement in children's literature. Wilder herself was the first recipient of the award, and Garth Williams designed the medal that they get. Originally, they gave it just once every few years, but they've kind of been giving it more and more frequently. And now it's pretty much an every year or every other year at most thing. But Jerry Pinkney won it in 2016, and you can listen to his speech about it through the American Library Association, and they always put the text of it in library magazines, so you can look for it there too if you just want to read it. Now, the big news under books that came out this year was the Selected Letters of Laura Ingalls Wilder, edited by William Anderson, came out. Now, most authors of repute at some point get a book of selected letters that came out about it. This was Laura's. It was put together with notations and annotations by William Anderson, who's the big Laura Ingalls Wilder scholar. And he feels like this would be the last collection, the large last collection of Laura's unpublished work to be released. So It's kind of a big deal, and we were all excited about it. And it came out this year. It is also available on in an audio format, and it's a very nice thing. And we actually had Bill Anderson on this show to talk about it. So on the show notes that I've put together, there is a link to that episode too. Another thing that people really liked this year was that the Little House coloring book came out. Now, this was to sort of cash in on the current trend in adult coloring. It uses the Garth Williams illustrations that kind of puts them together in sort of a different way. So it wasn't exactly what I thought it would be when it came out, but it's kind of a cool thing. And if you're into adult coloring, that is definitely something that you'll want to look into. It just came out this fall in time for color or for Christmas shopping. And if you like coloring and want sort of a more traditional looking coloring book, Cheryl Harness also has a Laura Ingalls Wilder coloring book. It's been out for a few years, and I will put in a link to her sample page that she has up on her website because you might enjoy that too. Now, there were also new paperback editions of two scholarly books that were organized by the Laura Ingalls Wilder Memorial Society in DeSmet. One is Little House, Long Shadow, Laura Ingalls Wilder's Impact on American Culture by Anita Claire Fellman, which includes a reference to me. I'd written a letter during her initial call for information, and she ended up citing my letter, which I thought was kind of cool. The majority of the book research for this book was done in the 90s, and even though it wasn't originally published until quite a while after that, but you can kind of tell most of the research was done in the 90s. Still, very interesting book, very interesting political take. Also, edition of Laura Ingalls Wilder and Rose Wilder Lane, Authorship, Place, Time, and Culture by John E. Miller came out. And it is a collection of essays and articles that he had originally published other place. It's sort of a miscellaneous thing where his other books have had more of a theme. These were sort of a mixture, but as always, Johnny Miller is a good read. Now, Pomona, California always has one of the first Laura events of the year, and that was the 50th anniversary of their gingerbread social, which they insisted was their 50th, despite the fact that it was started 49 years ago. And despite all the information that I have ever gotten on it from them, confirmed it was started in 1967. For some reason, they had a big blow up that it was the 50th last year. I have not yet confirmed they're having it this year. I really hope they are, and I will let you know in our Looking Ahead podcast if they actually are going to have it, hopefully. Pepin, Wisconsin did a dry run for their cabin birthday event that they're going to have this year. In 2017, to mark the 150th, they did it out at the cabin, and it's kind of a risky move because there is, when you live in the Midwest, it's always a really kind of a risk to have anything going scheduled on Laura's birthday. I do not usually take bookings anytime around there in February because I've just had to cancel too much, but they are very bravely going to have a cabin birthday event. And they also had a sugaring off dance, and they're going to try and repeat both those events this year. And I wish them all the best and good weather. They also, at their annual meeting, introduced a newly restored organ, a reed organ that is now working and is now on display in their museum. Independence, Kansas had kind of a rebuilding year. They were shifting the organization, leadership of it, and kind of reevaluating where they were. They had their prairie days as they usually do, but some of the other events that their previous director had introduced kind of fell by the wayside. There were a lot of small living history events she did, and one or two other big events, but it really was rebuilding, and they've got lots of great plans, and I hope I can give you a little more detail about what's going on in 2017. Walnut Grove, Minnesota had an exciting year because Walnut Grove is the home site that really makes the most of their connection to the television show. It's because that Walnut Grove is the place that isn't mentioned in the book. If you read On the Banks of Plum Creek, despite the fact that it's set in Walnut Grove, they don't say the name of the town. They go to school in town. They go to church in town. They leave on the train from town, never say the name of the town. So when the TV show came out and started saying Walnut Grove all the time, attendance just skyrocketed. So they liked the television show in Walnut Grove, unlike DeSmet, that was replaced by a made-up city. So this was a big year because Karen Grassel, who played Ma on the show, came back to be one of their guest speakers. They normally have at least a TV person one of the 3 weekends of the pageant, and they were really excited to have Karen back. They had had a special event where they had 10 different people from the show, which were most of the people that are still around and are willing to do these events. Melissa Gilbert really won't do them. And there were a couple other cast members that are still alive, but really aren't in a condition to do them. But these were the major cast people and even a couple minor cast people. It was a great group, but Karen couldn't work it out in her schedule, so she was missing. So this is the first time they have had her back since her original appearance there while the show was on the air in the 70s. If you go and visit the Homesite gift shop, they have some postcards of her from that initial visit wearing a very 1970s pantsuit with a bonnet because the historic dress she brought to wear the airline lost. So they gave her a bonnet out of the gift shop, and that's what she wore. And so it's some really great pictures. And so this was her first time back. Also, Charlotte Stewart, who played Miss Beadle, was back. She has had a long connection with the site, appeared there quite a few times, and makes what she calls Beadle bags that they sell in the gift shop there. And Wilder expert Bill Anderson also spoke. And anytime you have a chance to hear Bill Anderson speak, you need to take advantage of it and do it. Now, DeSmet, South Dakota's highlight of the year was that I spoke at the Ingalls Homestead. Well, I think it's the highlight anyway. I had a great time, and DeSmet was just great, as always. But what they probably really would focus on if someone from DeSmet was asked was that this was the first full year of the new director at DeSmet, whose name is Tessa Flack. I interviewed her last year, and I will link to that in the show notes. And the other big change is that the Memorial Society in DeSmet has long staunchly held that when you paid a subscription for Laura Ingalls Wilder Lore, or as it's familiarly called, Laura Lore, that it was only a subscription for the publication. And it is, by the way, the first regular newsletter on Laura Ingalls Wilder, and it has long been the best. And it has outlasted many other newsletters. The ones that are left that still publish on a very regular basis are the Lore and it used to be Farmer Boy News. I think they call it the Amanda Wilder News now. Those two are still in regular publication, and the others have kind of frittered away to periodic publication, I'm sorry to say, because it's always good to get the news out there, and I don't think they not only have kind of stopped publication, they also haven't really fully moved out into other ways of communication. But that's all a digression. Laura Lore has just been a subscription. When you bought, even though it said membership in the society, you were just getting subscription. They have changed that in this last year. It's a completely new system. They scrapped all that. They will honor current subscriptions until they expire, including current lifetime memberships, but it will no longer be an option to get new ones. The idea is they want to get you to pay in a ratcheted system. So if you are give them a membership at one amount, you get these benefits. If you add on and go up another level, you get those plus these other benefits. And I think there's like four levels. I haven't looked at it for a while. But you have to pay that every year to get those. And hopefully they're trying to set up a more stable financial flow for the museum, income flow, because really these are small local museums. They do not get money from the sale of the books. They, a lot of times, you know, just get grants from state agencies. So other than that, there's the sales on the gift shop, admissions, and donations from people. So if we really want to keep these sites going, we need to support that. We need to buy from their gift shops. We need to buy memberships. And I think it's an important thing. Now, there is a full description of these new systems in the winter 2015 issue of Lore. And if you're having any questions, that is probably your best bet to have it all laid out for you. Mansfield, Missouri had a banner year in 2016, is that they finally opened their new museum in April. Now, they have been working on trying to get this museum going, oh, way back when we were still doing the Laura Ingalls Wilder Literary Society listserv. We gathered up money and donated for that. So they've been really working on it a long time. They got a USDA grant. And they finally put it together. Now, I will say that they also, I think, somewhat wisely, they had before this buying back the Wilder land. So they pretty much, they're close, have back all the land that the Wilders owned at the peak of before they started selling land off again, which I think is a great thing. They have a development plan for the site. They're not just going, oh, we'll put this here and we'll, oh, here's this other project, we'll put it here. They have a long-term plan with priorities. They also, unfortunately, because of the land purchase, have a lot of debt. So if you, I mean, they are a really great place to visit. Now they have their new museum. And I actually haven't made it down there. I keep trying to get down there. But it would be a great time to visit Mansfield and check out their new museum. Now, Malone, New York appeared on Mountain Lake Public Broadcasting with a news magazine segment on the Almanza Wilder Farm. Now, the great thing about this is normally they do not have they don't let you to have pictures in the house, but they let the cameras in. And so you get to see some of the rooms around the house. They also talk a little bit about the barns. It features two guides. And I'm going to mostly say look at it for the pictures. But it is the museum is well worth it, even though, as I always tell people, it is a long drive down a two-lane road from anywhere, but it is definitely worth the trip. They started a new celebration this year, very low-key, didn't give much warning, but they had a Laura and Almanza anniversary celebration on Thursday, August 25th, 2016. They had at least one couple that deliberately came because their anniversary was the 25th and they drove down. And I think that's really cool. And it's really, as far as I know, the only site that makes a deal out of their anniversary. Although I do not know why people didn't think of this before. It's just brilliant. February, when it's her birthday, it's terrible weather. You're always taking a chance. August 25th, you got much better shot of good weather. I mean, this is a great time to have an event. I mean, it's going to have a little conflict with schools, but at least for people within reasonable driving range, if that is a really good idea, and I hope to see it spread to other home sites. In much worse news, they also did in memorandum part on their newsletter. And Bill Mankey, who was the husband of the Amanza Wilder Farm former archivist Elizabeth, passed away this year. Elizabeth did some really great work in gathering materials. I met her and Bill just once, but they were very nice people, and I'm very sorry to hear of his passing. They also lost former volunteer Fred Holmes, who had been rather instrumental in getting the barns up, and current volunteer Bonnie Demers, and I have no idea if that's how you say her last name, suddenly passed away this year also. In happier news, Ken Pulsifer, again, no idea if that's how you say his name, was a longtime volunteer and board member who constructed a trail to the schoolhouse. And I haven't been there since they did this, so I'm not exactly sure where it runs. It looks like it goes through woods part of the way, it's from the picture, but it's supposed to give you a path to walk to the schoolhouse to represent the path that Almanzo would have taken walking to school. The school they have on the grounds is a couple, well, I'm going to say 100 yards. I don't really know, but a couple hundred yards from the house, which, of course, there was not a school there. It is a rebuilt representation of the school, and this was just to kind of give you a little bit flavor of the walk. They have added a new sign to this and have named the trail the Schoolhouse Trail and also put Pulsifer's name on it. There were several other major museum events around the country. They had a special event in Anaheim, California, which was dinner with seven of the Little House on the Prairie TV show stars. It also had two levels of tickets, and first, I think it was 15 of the top level of tickets, personal tour of the Simi Valley site where they shot the television show with a couple of the stars, which sounded absolutely awesome and the way to go if you ever wanted to tour it. Other sites around the country, Old World, Wisconsin and Eagle, Wisconsin had their World of Little House, which is an event that's gotten bigger and smaller over the years. They were up to 6 weeks with this event as of a couple years ago. This year they were at about three, but still a great event. And just as a reminder, if you get a chance to go this year, this is about the only historic site I've heard of that encourages you, not just allows, but encourages you to wear historic outfits. And there's a good reason for that, although it's not a happy thought for your pictures. But they do allow you to come in, and they were even giving a discount for people who wore the historic clothes, which I thought was kind of great. Heritage Hill is another living history site in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I have not been to that one, but it seems to be more focused on having the TV stars there, it seems, from the reports I've heard about it from other people. Also, the Genesee's Country Village and Museum in Mumford, New York, same deal, kind of more on the TV shows. And kind of a cool one this year was that the Henry Ford had a short daily program, which was about 15 minutes of a first person character being Laura from, and it was a couple times a day from October to October 30th, which I thought was kind of cool. The Henry Ford is very near Detroit. It's in Dearborn. And it is great. The hotels you may have to stay in to get there, maybe not so great, But it is wonderful and well worth a visit. And I'm so excited that they did something for Laura. And another event going on last year was that the University of Missouri once again did a massive open online course, or a MOOC, as they call it, with Pamela Hill Smith. She had previously done a two-part class on Laura, and I have a blog post where I have all the videos. They put them out on YouTube of the first half of that course. Well, what she did in 2016 was she combined the two halves, and then she said she added a few more original things. So MOOCs have really big signups and abysmal completion rates. And I must admit, I signed up for the first one and got busy with other things and didn't get it completed either. But if you just want to watch the videos, they are on YouTube. And as I say, I have a post link to them with little descriptions about what the different sections are, putting them in order on my blog post. I will do a link to that. If you follow the link, just a fair warning, with those many videos, even though they're just embedded links, it takes it a while to load. So be patient, and the post will eventually show up with all of those on there. Now, this is actually an anniversary of sorts for me, because we have this was when we had our very first broadcast, our very first episode. It was sort of a pilot. I didn't have the music yet or anything, and actually I was sick. It sounds pretty terrible, but it's still up there. And it was originally broadcast December 19th, 2010, which means this is basically my sixth year that I've been doing this. And I am just really happy that I've been able to share Laura Ingalls Wilder with you. And I hope that you will stick with me in the new year, and that we will have some other episodes coming up that you will enjoy. My New Year's resolution is to get back to my regular schedule, and this is the first step of that. I hope that you have enjoyed listening to the roundup of what happened in Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom in 2016, and that you will come back and check with us again for 2017. Now, let me remind you all again that any time that we do have an episode, you can, by calling in, you can also stream live. If you're going to want to chat during the show, and we usually have our chat room open, then you can be sure to create a login before the show starts. You can also show in with your Facebook page, but it really works better if you set up your own account. And I hope that we will get to cover really great things today. Our next episode, episode 81, is going to be looking ahead to Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom in 2016. Thank you for joining me today, and remember to brighten the corner where you are. Thank you.